Hey, this is John Bokenkamp. You are listening to The Blacklist Exposed on Golden Spiral Media.
Did I not say that season three finales are going to be epic? Well, this one also delivered. You're welcome. Welcome to The Blacklist Exposed. I'm Agent Troy Heinrichs.
And I'm Agent Aaron Peterson, and if TV finales were a lottery, I think I just hit the Powerball. Thanks for joining us this week as we finish discussing number 14 on the blacklist, Alexander Kirk, which aired May 19th, 2016. It was written by Lucas Reeder and J.R. Orsi, and directed by Bill Rowe. Show notes and other intel for this episode of The Blacklist Exposed can be found at where? TheBlacklistExposed.com.
Should point that out that Bokenkamp and Eisendrath did not write the finale.
They didn't. They were too busy writing a spinoff.
I wonder if that's something we can ask Mr. Bokenkamp in the future, if Luke and JR are taking over the reins.
Possibly. And in case you weren't aware, we are going to have an interview with Mr. Bokenkamp, showrunner of The Blacklist. Should be, what, a week from now or so?
Yeah, I'll be out for next week's episode. You got it.
All right. So hopefully we'll get the skinny. Is that what the kids say? The skinny. That's what our parents said.
Either way, it'll be on fleek.
God. On fleek. I still don't understand that one. Where'd that come from?
We were actually talking about it at my mom's wedding this past weekend. And she said, no, she didn't say, but the people there were talking about the fact that, you know, I understand this language if it's like cool or rad or sweet or whatever that is. And they basically said that on fleek is all of those words wrapped up into one.
Yeah, it still doesn't make any sense. I guess I'm
totally doesn't.
Too old. Well, we've got a lot of talk about, so let's get right into it this week. We asked you to answer our profiling question of the week, which was, how will the season end? Some of you had some ideas. DJMM1962 says, Mr. Kaplan shows up with Liz. Not too far off. Dembe shoots Donald. Wow. Alexander Kirk gets away. Scotty takes Agnes.
Would have been good, but not quite. Right. Beer Robin says, we will get some teaser or a glimpse of Liz being alive. Got more than a glimpse.
Yeah, we did. We got like a nice little romantic session. And I'm pretty sure, is it just me or was the first shot of her like right after she left or right before she left the show? And then the second shot was like recently because her hair, I swear, got longer.
It did. It looked a little bit longer. Yeah, or could have just been the lighting. Oh my gosh, no.
Sorry. No, it looked great. It just looked a little longer. I'm like, I don't know. How long has he had her in captivity? Because her hair looks longer and sleeker almost.
Oh, time jump. Hello.
Yep. Tori Melshin says, with some information that Liz is alive and Wrestler and Mr. Kaplan are both dead. Wow.
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 People really want to see Wrestler gone.
Poor Wrestler. Maybe. Just because you don't like Boy Scouts? What's the problem, man?
It sounds like they hate Wrestler more than they hate Tom and Liz together.
I don't know why I like Wrestler. I like Mr. just doing his job. I like perfect hair. Yeah. You need somebody that actually sticks to the book, you know?
And then Sineda said, with Lizzie alive, which is true.
It is true. Ron Davis takes it a step further. Red wakes up from the opium den, realizes it was all a dream, sees that he has a message from Liz on his phone, gets a drink at the bar, gets laid by a prostitute, ignores Liz's call, and calls Dembe to come get him with his private plane, and it fades out as they lose power and start a downward spiral to some remote island.
That sounds like some other movie or TV show.
Yeah, I don't know. We have to go back? Something like that? I don't know what's going on with this one. Maybe but, a little interesting.
It actually sounds more like Dallas, doesn't it?
No, it sounds like Jack from Lost.
That could
remember
be
he had the opium den? Remember that?
Yeah, and he had the prostitute on Thailand or whatever it was.
That's what it seems like, man. It does. Seems a little Losty.
Flint Nichols said, I think Liz will be discovered to be alive, but not until the last minute, and there will be a new clue to add for season four.
Yeah, well, Big clue.
If you believe it.
Yeah, well, some people don't believe it. Some people don't believe it. They're like, no, it's not true. Okay, well, we'll find out. Francine Lemereau, I hope I said that right. Scotty will give the baby girl to Kirk. He will not kill her, but raise her to his cabal way. Scotty wasn't even in this episode.
She was not.
Too busy getting ready for a spinoff, maybe.
Yeah. And we're going to have to talk about how that's all going to tie together since the spinoff is mid-season. So with Tom missing, how does that all work? What's the timeline and blah, 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 blah.
We'll do that before we do the actual breakdown. So let's finish these and then we'll talk about that.
Judy said, I would like Tom to do something for which he will need to seek redemption, since that's the tagline for the spinoff of the series he's going to be in. Otherwise, that tagline seems a little bit overblown. If he does something, I assume it'll be about Agnes. I'm very intrigued and really looking forward to the show this evening.
I would say he still needs redemption. He's done a lot of bad stuff. I mean, like choking his wife out and stuff, right?
You betcha.
And he was assassin for hire or whatever he did. So, yeah, he's got some redemptive qualities there.
And he led the bodyguard right to her.
Yeah, not very good about looking for a tail, huh?
No doubt.
But it was a tracker in his phone or what? Whatever?
Yeah, they were tracking his cell phone calls. It's like, why don't you get a burner every time you switched around?
Yeah, I guess, you know, he was getting a little excited, so he lost the train of thought that he normally would have. John Keesling, maybe the Cabal will be coming for Red and his son. Is Tom Raymond Reddington's son? Will the team,
that'd be interesting.
In with the team, will it backfire on Reddington? Will the team be disloyal to Raymond Reddington? Question. Possibly. I mean, right now, I think he's got a little split in alliances, right?
Well, I wouldn't call it disloyalty, because the way Kaplan explained it, it's like, I've always had your best interest in mind. Your best interest is protect Liz, and that's what I was doing. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't consider it disloyal, but definitely pull the wool over his eyes.
Right.
And that's something he has to process, because that's never happened before. Suzanne said, Liz and Tom will be at the beach. Well, we're on an island, just not at a beach.
Yeah, it's close. I mean, there's a beach somewhere nearby, so I guess maybe that counts. Like, it's a half point. To which Davina replied, someone watching Tom and Agnes on the beach.
Which,
I'm just connecting it all.
Sharon said, Dembe has a makeout scene with Samar. Oh, that would be a twist. Just,
man.
Just gets with everybody on the show.
Don't do that, because that would just be tacky.
Agnes is talking and asking for the dog. That's funny. Wow. Liz still dead. Scotty has an expression on her face. Tom goes glasses shopping at Warby Parker, shirtless.
I'm thinking this is a sarcastic post. It feels
so
sarcastic because I like it.
But Warby Parker, if you're listening, sponsorship's available, and that'd probably be a really great ad campaign.
There you go, and they can combine some characters. I kind of like how they're doing that, actually.
Yeah, with the Ford commercials, I think it'd be interesting.
Aw, so much aw. Sonya Baumgartner, I think we will be led astray for a bit down the parental path that leads to nowhere. I believe it's too early to find out the real connection between Red and Liz, but it's always the right time to confuse us. Yeah, I would agree. More or lead us to believe so-and-so is the parent. In the end, Kirk may say he's her father, but in season 4, we'll find out he's really not because Agnes' blood type doesn't match his, and she can't help his condition. Crazy theory, sure to go wrong. Kirk is Red's whoever. Red might be brother.
So the uncle theory could still be in play if you believe Kirk's the father. But I do like that Kirk, like if we're saying Kirk isn't the father, and we'll talk about why we think that in a little bit. But yeah, the blood type not matching, that's an interesting twist for the start of the 4.
Absolutely.
Crystal said, I think we'll see a glimpse of Liz being alive in some way, inspired by Troy's belief that season 3 finales are big and shake things up for the next couple of seasons. I think they'll start to reveal the connection between Red and Liz. I know they said they wouldn't do that yet, but something tells me they will, and it won't be because Red wants it to be known. I'm also going to say, even though it might get me torn to shreds, but I still believe the connection to be Red as her father. We'll talk about that a little bit, too. I also know I could be 100% wrong on all of the above and much more, but it is the finale, so I'm going balls to the wall just for fun.
Man, there's so many ideas. We got to get to them. James Lael, how many more do we have? We got a couple left. Two left. Kirk routed and on the run, but not dead. Liz not among the still conscious. Cooper moves back home. Dembe still stoic. Aram starts to approach Navabi when some things or someone intervenes.
Like Match.com.
Wrestler shoots Tom Connolly's headstone. That's kind of funny.
That's kind of funny. Wendy said, the biggest shock for me would be if they killed off Red, or seemingly to. Did we already have one fake death this season? And then they have to wait
until... had two fake deaths this season. Both were Liz. Liz got fake death twice.
That's right. It was the same season, wasn't it?
Yeah. That's ballsy, people.
That is good. We'll have to wait till October to find out if Red is alive. That'll be a long summer. I too can't think of anything more shocking at the moment. Too many variables. Red has touched so many lives since his return. It's hard to predict who he resents in his presence the most. So who or what may have been waiting to be meeting since season 1? Either one of Liz's biological parents, perhaps? The person responsible for Red going bad? One thought did cross my mind, and she's referencing a Ryan Eggold interview that he did on the Today Show with Hoda and Kathy about that we would meet somebody big in the finale. One thought did cross my mind is when the big reveal happens, Red goes back into hiding again, and Liz comes back as she needs answers to her own past. In season 4, we'll concentrate on the hunt for Red, Though thinking about that now, that seems a bit contrived. Kind of like that, actually. Mm-hmm. Frustrating and fun, and I like how the show makes you think up endless possibilities no matter how outrageous. Now, the real question is not how we think the season will end, more how we would like it to end.
Mm. Interesting. Great ideas. I mean, now we know what happened, but I liked seeing where people thought it was going to go and how many people were very close or right on, pretty close for pretty the most close. Part.
A lot of us, I think, predicted a lot of the elements, just didn't see how it was all going to be put together.
Yeah, I don't know many people that actually thought Liz was dead, honestly. But I'm sure a lot of people did, so I'm sure that was a cool surprise. I never thought it, so...
I totally believed it as soon as it came off Instagram. I was like, oh, man. No, not really.
As soon
really.
As she pulls her, I'm not on the blacklist anymore, because it says so on my Instagram account. Therefore, it cannot be.
Because if it's on the internet, it's true.
And our profiling question for this episode, you know, so you have plenty of time to think about it, but after three seasons, what one open question / story do you want more info about?
Yeah,
that's right. I think some people just automatically assume it's going to be the Red Liz connection, but I'm kind of curious. After three seasons, what one open question or story do you want more info about?
Yeah, and if you share those with us through the course of the week, we'll actually bring those to John when we talk to him next week. I think that'll help spur some thoughts.
Yeah, and before we get into our talk on this episode, let's talk about the spinoff. How do you think this is going to affect the spinoff? Do you have any thoughts on that or any thoughts on the spinoff itself? Because we did find out it seems like it's going to be mid-season. Do you think it's going to be in between Blacklist episodes or what?
Yeah, that would be really great for us anyway, at least for the podcast, because we were talking about, should we do a Redemption podcast? Do we just do this singular podcast and talk about both shows at the same time?
And I reminded you that I have a life, so I don't know. We'll see. And yeah.
Yeah, so hopefully I'd like it to be an in-betweener, like a short 10 to 13 episode kind of thing like they did with Agent Carter in between Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm.
or Galvant between Once Upon a Time, just kind of fill the middle a little bit. It'd be really great if that set up, because then you have this whole, I'm assuming it'll be like Berlin or The Director, where you had like an 8-episode run in the beginning that's tied to that story, and then maybe that would bridge into, because the one thing that was left open was Tom and the baby, because you saw Liz talk to Kirk, but we don't know where Tom and the baby are, because the bounty hunter got Tom.
Right.
Liz already was gone, or kidnapped, or transported, or whatever. So it looked like Kirk's men got to Cuba first, and then the bounty hunter came second. So could the bounty hunter, because he was tied to Stalder, who was tied to Scotty, and Scotty was kind of double blackmailing Stalder, could that then move Tom and the baby to the spinoff from that capture perspective? Maybe it was a piece of the negotiation. So you get me to Liz, we'll take care of Liz from the Kirk side of the house, but you get to have Tom to take care of the Scotty side of the house.
That's really interesting. I'm really curious how they're going to play this out, because the spinoff, if it's going to come mid-season, you're probably going to have it in between, but I also think it might run concurrent. You know, I don't know. I don't think that they've released that yet that I've seen, but I also was just traveling. I was kind of staying off the internet as much as I can, so I don't know if that information came out. Did they come out and say for sure how it was going to air?
It's definitely not in the fall. That much
I know that, but I mean, did they definitely say it'll be like
winter,
before the episode?
It could be spring.
What?
Yeah, they didn't say at all.
Okay.
Could be one way or the other. At this point, it's too early to tell.
Okay.
Because we don't even know how many episodes the Blacklist is technically getting. We're assuming it's 22, because most network shows are, but there was still this NBC football contract concept, which I don't remember them talking about or bringing up at all during the upfront presentation. I'd have to go back and take a look, because they were supposed to have a shared partnership with the Thursday night games, which would, of course, throw off the Blacklist, being that it's on at 10 Eastern now in the fall. An hour later, so it'll be weird how that all plays out, so we'll have to see.
Yeah, and a lot of people are thinking because it airs an hour later, it's going to go darker and grittier. I mean, it's already kind of dark and bloody, right? It's not really... How much darker do you want them to go?
Dark. Super dark.
Like maybe Agnes Frag grenade dark?
Yeah, maybe.
Wow, we're disturbing people.
No, not that dark.
We are disturbing people.
But Revolution was pretty dark on NBC at 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock Eastern Pacific, so... Yeah, it doesn't have to go much darker, but it would be good to see it be more like, you know, blood splatter on the box, kind of dark like it was in season one.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, wrestler knifing a guy and taking out his innards.
Ew.
It'd be kind of fun, too.
Yeah, sounds like fun, Troy. That's not disturbing at all or creepy or anything else.
Wrestler didn't do that. He was only thinking about it and then arrested him.
Oh, and I do want to say before we go on, thanks to all the listeners that have shout out, like, have a nice vacation and all that stuff when I was gone and safe travels. That was very, very nice.
Very, very nice.
Yep. I didn't get injured until I got back. So now I'm on painkillers.
Irony.
This is so stupid, man. I go to Yellowstone, one of the most dangerous parks in the, I mean, dangerous in terms of like wildlife and whatnot. No problem. No bears attacks, anything else. I come back home, trip, fall. Now I'm on painkillers. I hate life. And it hates me.
All right. Well, we'll get Aaron back to bed. So here's our finale discussion with cheese on this week's Case Profile.
All right. Well, this is the final episode of the season. This is it. This is the grand poobah, the big one. Senator Diaz is still demanding Kirk comes out of hiding due to his cooked up allegations that Kirk is financing terrorism through oil money. Doesn't seem to work, though, and Kirk is bleeding a bunch. Okay, now you pointed that out last week, and which I really didn't even pick up on a whole lot about his injuries and how obvious those injuries seemed. And I guess I was more like focused on the other stuff going on, but you really jumped on that idea. So now it's obviously a big factor of his character. What do you think is going on with Kirk?
First of all, I should be hired as a spy since I called it out first week early.
There you go.
Secondly, I think that's really interesting because
how many kudos do you want, man? What, seriously, what kind of time do you think we have?
I know.
Oh, bow to Troy. Oh, I called everything else. What do you want? Send me a t-shirt.
From what it looked like, they put the needle in his left arm, if I remember correctly, when they were giving him the blood, and then it was his right hand that was bleeding and dripping on the floor. So the question becomes, is he hemophiliac?
Troy's question.
There you go. First one of the episode. Is he a hemophiliac, or does he have some other thing, or did I mislook at which hand was getting the shot in? When I was
watching really know why it matters what bathroom he uses, but hemophilia. Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
I misunderstood.
Oh, nice.
Very sorry. Nice. You're welcome.
Because he was bleeding from the right hand, and I don't know why he was bleeding, because he didn't have a cut or anything. So maybe, I don't know, maybe just bleeds a lot, and that's why he needs blood. Some people thought maybe transfusion, you know, kidney dialysis type thing.
Stem cells. That's a big one going around.
Yep. Lots
need
of
stem cells to live.
Possibilities.
Well, I mean, they didn't really give you enough information to make a medical diagnosis. Not that I'm a doctor, but I have definitely played one in high school. But it definitely did not give me enough to know what was going on. I just know he has something going on that causes him to spontaneously bleed for no reason.
And apparently we do know, and someone will probably correct me if I'm wrong on this, but
you're
it looked
wrong.
Like it was B positive on the blood bags. And if we remember correctly, red is B negative from the blood transfusion he gave to Wrestler.
Right.
During the Ansel Garrick episodes.
Right. Well, so he's not his brother, basically. Well, I mean, does the blood type determine if you're the brother? Because, I mean, if you got different parents, I'm not a doctor.
This blended family stuff that we deal with today, I tell you, really makes things confusing.
I just don't know. Just do a DNA test. Let's end this right now. Can we get a DNA sample or something? Let's get this done. Pretty cool. We'll talk a little bit more about Kirk here in a minute. Let's just finish the basic episode. Gas company called Nexico, which for some reason I thought was called Mexico for most of the episode. So I'm just like, really? They named a gas company Mexico? I don't get it. Turns out I'm just stupid because it was Nexico. And it's central to the plot. Turns out the stolen money didn't work. You could almost say like that was tossed in there to give them a spinoff option.
Mm-hmm. Almost felt like a spinoff option having Tom Keen do the gas tank switcheroo-y thing. That's kind of like what they did almost with the bank switcheroo-y thing.
They're definitely setting him up for he's little Ethan Hunt.
Yep.
Tom Cruise Keen. That's what we're calling him. All right. And it turns out this does force Kirk to come to America because they switch out these tankers and they arrest this poor truck driver who did nothing wrong. And they never say what happens to that guy. So by the end of the episode, everybody's like throwing out their question. Is he your father? Is this? I'm like, did the truck driver get released?
And
that's all I care about.
And more importantly, what happened to the dog? Was he in the same humane shelter with Hudson?
Poor dog. Man, these are the questions we should be asking people. Not the father thing, whatever, that's cool. This poor truck driver did nothing. Those guys do everything for you. Everything you own was on a truck, and now he's in jail for nothing. I mean, come on. It's just harsh.
And the dog just ate a bunch of donuts, so, you know, he's got to get his stomach pumped.
Yeah, I like how Tom just comes handy with a donut.
No, I think they were on the inside. They were in the cab door.
Oh. And
he because he looked down and he's like, oh, look at that. There's donuts. And then just gave him the rest of the box.
I just thought he had them in his pocket because who doesn't like donuts, man?
Right.
They're delicious.
Donuts is not the first thing I would think to give to a dog to make him happy. I'd make sure to have like some bacon or a piece of meat or something, but donuts they are.
Yeah, well, donuts are tastier. That's why. It's better than bacon.
True.
Yeah, I said it. I said it, America. All right. Well, meanwhile, Stalder returns with a hitman in tow, and he sets the hitman onto Tom and Agnes's scent, which, of course, is where everything comes into play and everybody gets busted. This could have been a great plan, but of course, Tom doesn't use burner phones, like you said.
So a lot of people were assuming that Kirk comes to the country and that he actually would have gone to the hearing had not Stalder shown up at the airport and gave him the file, which we assume clearly had a picture of Liz in the file because it was from his people in Cuba.
Well, obviously, because, I mean, he's like, hey, look at this. And then his eyes went, dramatic turning point.
My daughter.
She looks just like my little girl that shot me. Allegedly.
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 We'll get to that, too.
Oh, yeah. And we're getting there. About. So let's talk about characters. Let's do it. Let's do it, Troy. Music is first, as always. I love the last song, by the way, but go ahead.
I do,
music
too. Stalder's bounty hunter pulls up to meet with him, and we hear Bowling Ball Blues by Mac Fields. I thought it was playing on the radio, but then the song continues to play during the course of their discussion. I wonder if it was in a boombox in the trunk with whoever this bounty hunter had in the trunk. Because I thought for sure it was on the radio as he pulled up, and then it's still going as they're having the conversation. So, interesting. I don't know why it was playing. It really didn't have any... Yeah, the lyrics don't really mean anything to the show.
It's a cool song, that's why.
So I thought maybe he was just playing it in the trunk to whoever was back there to keep him quiet and not hear what was going on in the cab.
Yep, yep.
Tom and the team swap out a tanker truck to the groove of King's Crown by Junkie XL.
Oh, I love them. They were part of the Mad Max Fury Road score last year, which is one of the best film scores. If you've never heard it, go check it out. Man, he's a great musician.
Probably one of the funnier scenes up there with the garden gnome kicking. The construction crew is listening to American Dream by Steel Town as Red and his team enter the building and then shoot the radio.
I know. It's a little dramatic, wasn't it?
I know. What does he have against Steel Town, man?
I don't know. What doesn't he like? And then the last one. I love that song, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Greg Laswell's dodged a bullet playing over Wrestler, telling Cooper that Liz is alive, and Red and company arriving in Cuba to find an empty crib. And then Red just goes and squishes up Casplin's face. With a gun next to it.
Yeah, and some people really didn't like that we ended on a cliffhanger. I mean, that's kind of the way that we do it now, right? I mean, that's like every TV series now.
That's like TV series since 1980, ever since the dream thing in Dallas. So,
That's the second time you brought up that garbage in one episode. Let me just say, one of the worst trying to cover what happened things in history. Just awful. Worst jump the shark moment.
That's how you feel
worse
about
than jumping the shark.
That's how you feel about Lost sometimes.
Don't get there, man. That's how you get angry people.
Exactly.
All right. Now let's get into our characters. Diaz. He's Senator Diaz. A good man. Would never allow himself to be put under obligation to someone who writes a giant check. Couldn't agree more. This guy is not a good guy.
No, not at all. He's saying a step up there. I'm going to make sure that my running for president doesn't interfere with my senatorial duties. And
why do you sound like Abraham Lincoln right now? Four score and seven blacklists.
That was Diaz giving his speech. And yeah, he just wants to make sure I'm doing the right thing. And then, but I'll take any money you can throw my way.
And we find out, you know, Red obviously has the senator in his pocket because he allowed this to happen. I mean, basically, he's allowed it to happen twice now. So he's obviously for sale. And Red wants a pardon for Elizabeth Keene. Now, do you think, now that she's alive, this will come back into play to get her back involved in the FBI?
Well, probably. You could go that route. Assuming Diaz gets elected, you still have to go through that nonsense. But Diaz, if he gets elected, then you could do the pardon. That would then bring Liz back into the task force, even though she was already in the task force as a consultant, so I don't think it's necessarily needed in order to make her still part of the show.
I'm with you. I'm kind of curious where that will go. Dembe, once again, didn't get many lines. We really need more lines for Dembe. You know what I mean?
No doubt.
No doubt. But do you think he'd actually shoot Wrestler? It really looked like he was going to shoot him.
I think if he had pulled the trigger on Red, then absolutely Dembe would have capped him out of loyalty.
Yep. I do think that would have been Wrestler's final bullet.
And Red even said it in the statement. It's like, do you really want to take the chance? Are you willing to die? Because Dembe will kill you.
It sure seemed like he was thinking about it. I wish he would have. I honestly wish he would have, like, shot him in the arm or something. Like, just a warning shot. Said, no, you can't do this. Because I think that's who his character is. And I'm glad that somebody was willing to do the right thing. But we're going to get to him in a second. Well, first, we've got...
What was his deal this week, though? He looked angry all the time.
Who? Like,
he was up in the office with... Yeah, he was up in the office with Cooper and Wrestler and Aram look up there. And he looks back down and he's like, don't be looking up here.
He's like, man, I am tired. We have been doing this for 3 years now. I am tired. I just want to take a nap. We're always chasing somebody. Can I sleep in? That's why.
exactly right.
Or I don't think Red shared his hot dog. You ever think about that? I mean, Red was eating a hot dog. I didn't see Dembe eating a hot dog. I'd be pissed the rest of the episode, too. Like, hey, I'm hungry.
You know what, though? Think about it. That's a truck stop hot dog. Do you really want to be sharing that hot dog?
Was it a truck stop?
Yeah, it was somewhere on the side of the road.
I don't think it was a truck stop. I think it was just like a hot dog place.
Yep. Seymour Buns.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, yeah, I'd eat it. Sure. Yeah. We're Americans. We'll eat anything that's bad for us.
That's right.
Doesn't matter where it's from. Aram and Samar have, again, little to do in this episode. Samar gets a little bit more with Cooper, but we're going to save that for Cooper. Except for this match being made in Ford Heaven, apparently. What is up with this? How do you like these little connected commercials?
I kind of like it, actually. This one was really cute, how they were talking about the blind date situation, and then she's driving, she does the whole show off the car thing with the sync technology and whatnot, and then shows up, and it is Aram who happens to have the carnation in his pocket. So I think it was really cute. It's a way to kind of show that, oh, hey, it was you, hey, it was me, maybe this will then spark something.
I think it's maybe to give fans a little bit of what they want.
It could be.
You know? Yeah, give them a little bit of, we know you guys want them together, we know you want them to hook up, here's your hookup moment. And, you know, I'm hoping next season maybe they'll make out a little bit in these commercials. You know, yeah. Hey, let's get in my Ford Escape and let's make out.
I don't even need it to be like a hookup thing, because in preparation for
hookup, I said make out. Man, you took it to a different level. Either, I just said make out.
Either way, I don't even need both of those. I think what I want more after, because I was watching Luther Braxton Part 2 in preparation for the podcast this week.
Okay.
There was the scene where she, you know, she's hanging from the chains with and she's up there and Wrestler has to get her down. We actually kind of called this. I re-listened to that podcast to hear the memory sequence.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually talked about how now that Wrestler saves Samar, but then Amar is hugging Samar in the office in front of Cooper really long and lovingly.
Aram, you mean?
Aram, yeah, sorry. Yeah. Hugging Samar, and then Wrestler comes in, and then Aram kind of like gives him like a bro hug kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we, on the podcast, we said, oh, it'll be interesting to see where this triangle goes. We called that in season two. Just saying.
Well, la-di-da. Look at you tooting a horn.
Yeah, that was yours. Beep, beep. You called it.
Well, I mean, I just know it. I'm just good. Actually, they just take a lot of guesses, and eventually one of them's going to stick.
But I think that's what I want. I want more out of their relationship is more of the touching, not touching, so that's weird.
Don't make it weird, man.
The closeness, like when she had the bubonic plague thing, and they're holding each other's hand. I just want to know that they're together. I don't need to see them together.
Right. I would prefer that they were extremely close friends at this point. I just think, I don't know. I just think where they are in their relationship, maybe they can have a little bit of romance. I mean, obviously, people want poor Aram to get a little something from someone, girlfriend or connection or something, because he deserves it. And whether it be with her or not, I don't know.
I guess
okay with they're very close friends. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, but from a fan's perspective, I don't need to see Aram in bed with anybody or hooking up or kissing anybody.
No, I think he's more genuine and he's deeper than that. He's not simplistic. He's not your typical dude. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Not jumping air gaps just for the fun of it after your wife had died.
God. You made me snort. All right, I guess instead of waiting, let's just talk about it. Samar does have a nice moment with Cooper where she does explain how she learned to kill in the name of justice and vengeance, and you just get used to it. Isn't that basically what an assassin is?
I guess so, except that an assassin does it for money. These guys are doing it just to get the job done because it's something that needs to be done because there is a justice angle to it. Mm-hmm. Assassins just do it to do it. Mm-hmm. So in their mind, they're saying this is justified because there's justice happening, even though it's not through normal channels, which makes it vengeance.
Gotcha. That's, I see it more as she's saying, you know, once you do it, it becomes okay. It becomes old hat. It's like, now you know what needs to be done. And I guess I have a big problem with that. That's my only real big problem with this episode, but that's for Cooper. So we'll talk about that in a minute. Okay.
Okay.
I just wanted to mention it real quick. Alexander Kirk, he's a known foreign national. We get a little bit more information about him. He's a known foreign national who illegally donated to Diaz's campaign. Apparently, foreign diplomats can't do that. Did not know that because I don't work for any presidents.
Nope.
Oh, so I didn't know.
Didn't know there was even a law about it.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I guess there is one, or it's a TV law. I don't know. And really, do we need to take the time to look it up? Sounds legit.
Yep.
We'll go with it. Hashtag legit. Take the girl. Kill the father. So he doesn't give a damn about Tom Keene.
Right.
/ Jacob / Christopher / Billy Bob Thornton, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know. Turns out that taking Kirk's money didn't flush him out. Just was a handy little introduction to a spinoff. So the post office went along with framing Nick and Nexico. Not Mexico, Nexico.
Right, Nexico. Nexico.
You got Mexico, right. Not Mexico. Yeah, I said that. Yep. How many times do I need to say it? I was so confused. I was like, man, what am I hearing it wrong? I don't understand. It really sounded like Mexico, but all the trucks say Mexico. Isn't this a bit of a stretch, you think? I mean, even for an organization already in too deep, but they are willing to go along with framing Kirk and allowing an assassination. All of them are.
Well, not all of them are allowing the assassination to happen. Wrestlers
they're
still...
All, no. They are all allowing it. They speak of their reservations about it, but nobody other than Wrestler even tries to stop it.
Well, Aram can't go out in the field. He's got to stay home. And Aram did voice his opinion. So if he had the Wrestler capabilities, he would have probably gone out and had a conversation with Reddington about it. And that probably would have been an interesting conversation to have, given Aram and Reddington's history. But mm-hmm. Wrestler does show up, and I think that was a great character moment for Wrestler, which we'll talk about when he actually ends up not pulling the trigger and putting the gun down. Because then he's at that point, he's allowing it, but up to that point, he wasn't going to.
By not doing anything, they're allowing it. They do nothing to stop it outside of Wrestler, who ultimately doesn't end up doing anything to stop it either, but they just let it happen. Do you think that's too far? I mean, can you buy them as an organization that is for the purpose of the law if they're willing to break it and ultimately kill someone, assassinate someone, allow someone to be assassinated, which by proxy means you're guilty.
Right.
Do you believe that they would do that? Does that make sense to you?
It does make sense. I think you're onto something there, but at the same time, I really liked how they were all in this quandary of what is the right thing to do and should we do it and should we go along with it? And at this point, they already did the whole bank heist thing last week for the Scotty episode. Mm-hmm. So what's the difference between the bank heist thing and showing up at the bank and taking information as part of the investigation when they were working with the guys that robbed the bank versus arresting the guy who pulls up who just happens to have a tanker that they knew about was getting swapped out? It's almost like entrapment at that point.
Yeah. It seems like a bit of a stretch. I mean, we allow it because it's TV and it's going to work. But for me, that was a problem with me because especially Cooper allowing someone to be murdered seems a bit of a stretch.
But at the same time, remember, this is a sanctioned task force. It's not really the...
That's not sanctioned, though. You're complicit in a murder. That's not the same thing. That's an assassination. That is illegal.
But what I'm saying is that the organization itself in the post office is almost kind of off book. It's not truly the FBI. It's really this separate entity that's running kind of its own operation procedure to do what it needs to do to capture these criminals that Red is offering up. So I think people are apt to look a different way, even though you should still abide by the FBI morals and codes. But at the same time, you are kind of given a little bit of carte blanche to be a little bit looser. And so I think that's why it's able to play off and be plausible.
Okay. Just my opinion, I had a hard time swallowing that they would all be okay with that. But I get what you're saying, and I got the explanation. I just don't know if I'm sold on it yet. It's kind of one of those things where it's TV, it's finale, I'll buy it, but I had a hard time swallowing it. Kirk found out about Liz and headed to Cuba. We'll get to why here in a minute. So we do have this new character. Turns out to be her father. We're going to talk more about the father when we get to Liz. So are you looking forward to seeing his character evolve a little bit more in season 4?
Yeah, I think he's very smart. He's got this team of lawyers or consultants. They weren't like working for him. They were actually a company. He hired a company to do his PR campaign, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I'm interested to see, based on his finances and how deep it runs, like what is his agenda? And then, of course, how is he tied to the cabal? Because we still have the cabal in the background that Red is supposedly running as the head chair now. Mm-hmm. And Laurel Hitchens and the president and all of that tying together. So it'd be very interesting to see how that all plays out at the season 4 starts.
I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's cool that we've got a few story points. Now, some people debate the story points, but, you know, we're almost there. Cooper, I entered into this relationship with eyes open. Red tells him he's out. He's done. They've done some good work, but with Elizabeth gone, there's nothing more to contribute. Turns out, Liz isn't dead, so what do you think? Do you think Red's still going to work with him? Sure seems like it would make sense, otherwise we'd have a show that wasn't called The Blacklist.
Well, before we go into the Liz side, let's go back to the beginning. With Elizabeth gone, there's nothing more to contribute.
Mm-hmm.
Does this clearly tell you that he is a criminal. Like, his intention wasn't to bring down these bad guys because he still wants his empire and his operation to run. He even says the line, you know, who's going to steal the truck, the tanker truck? It's like, well, I did it because, you know, I'm a criminal.
Mm-hmm.
He stresses that again. So I would think that if he was a good guy, he would say to Cooper something like, let's keep hunting these guys down in the name of Liz. Let's do it for her. You know, but because he doesn't do that, it tells you clearly that he wants to get back to his criminal potential ways.
Yeah, I think it,
or at least sure his, at least his to, own interests.
Right. It points to me that there's definitely he only did it to get close to Liz. It wasn't so much to bring criminals down, although he was like clearing the way for his own empire, which seems like it's already done. But now that Liz is gone, in his mind at that moment, he was just ready to, you know what? I don't really need to do this anymore. I'm good. I'll exact vengeance my own way,
right,
on whatever his ultimate plan is. Because I do think he has an ultimate plan.
Which that, I think, is the actual answer to what the Blacklist is all about at the end of the day.
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't think it's about the post office. I think it's about Red Reddington.
Right.
It always has been. And his connection to Liz. I always said that. You know, some people, I know there's some people that aren't fans of Liz's character, and some of it for understandable reasons, you know, some of the up and down with her character. But, you know, ultimately, the crux of the show is their relationship. You know, it isn't, as much as people love James Spader, it's not just Red Reddington. It's Red and Liz. And this is a very important relationship to the show. It is the show to me.
Right. It was what made season one really great.
Mm-hmm. So it makes the show, man. It's what makes the show. Everything they've been doing has been in the name of Liz. So even when Megan Boone has been off on maternity, her character is still very relevant because it's a factor of everything that happens.
Correct.
You know, she is the reason that Red Reddington exists in this show. So Cooper still goes along with the idea of killing Kirk. That was a big problem for me, which I already discussed, because I just don't see him allowing murder. But he does try to justify it. But to me, I mean, that's the line. Once you cross it, you can't go back.
Yeah, which is really an interesting dynamic when you look at how he was giving that speech to Liz at the end of season two. Like, that good person, that agent that you want to be, that all goes away if you pull that trigger. And then here, Cooper is basically saying, I'm going to do whatever it takes to avenge Liz's death. So, yeah, I absolutely am going to help you find Kirk and let you kill him.
And I'll bet you they're all going to be a little bit pissed when they find out Liz was complicit in her own death faking. And they almost, or they did, break several laws to avenge her when she wasn't dead. You know, that's going to cause a lot of friction in season four, I would think.
Absolutely do think that is a huge storyline for season four.
Yeah, I don't want a quick glossing over where they do a quick, you know, where they do a family ties moment at the end and then they all, you know, hey, we talked it all out. Sorry about that. Totally understand. I think it's something that you really have to pull out over maybe the first third of the season or so. Because I can't see them willing, just taking her back with open arms after that. Agree?
Agree.
Agree. All right, Tom. Poor Doc. I mean, he was the focus point of last week's episode. This week, he gets relegated to a supporting character. The Doc was killed by the hitman trying to get to Tom Keen, which I thought was kind of sad. It wasn't his fault. He makes his escape using formula and spit up. Gets out of there. Do you think the grocery lady was in on it? The baby that he swapped?
No, not at all.
Okay. So he just basically kidnapped his poor child.
Kaplan, I think, was in on it the whole time.
Well, yeah, she had to be. Yeah, she said that so much.
Because, right? They kind of knew the layout of the grocery store too easily. Maybe they were scoping out that lady. She comes there all the time.
Right.
Swap that baby out that quickly. Because, I mean, what are the chances the baby's, oh, look at that. It's our opportune time for this baby to just be here.
Exactly.
They had to have known she was going to be there at that time to make it happen.
We do get the answer to the question, the one that we have debated the most, because I think we would both have been in complete agreement. Liz is not dead. It was a fake death. Kaplan was in on it. We debated on who else was involved. Tom was a maybe, maybe not moment. And last week, we kind of were swayed to the maybe he doesn't know, just because of how he shot Solomon for what happened to his wife. Turns out he just shot him because he was pissed that caused it to get to that point and put her life in jeopardy, right? And made the baby come early and all this other stuff. So he had reasons whether Liz lived or died to shoot Solomon for his wife.
And that was one of the things I was struggling with this episode when it concluded was, what was that reason for Tom shooting Solomon? Because clearly, when we get the playback of how the death was fake, Tom is sitting there, so Tom is aware of it. Mm-hmm. Which I have to say, brilliant job by the writers then, because as we were talking about, either Red knows and Tom knows, or Red doesn't know, and in order for Red and Tom's relationship, Tom can't know too. And then we forgot, Tom is a man of mystery and intrigue, and he can actually play both characters at the same time. And that never crossed our minds. And kudos for allowing Tom to know, but still being able to play the Red Angle. That was really, really great. But yeah, it goes back to, why did he shoot Solomon? Because clearly he knew she was safe. So I think he just shot him because, I just don't want you talking about my wife because I hate you.
Exactly. What the hell? It's very interesting stuff. Knowing that he's in on the fake death, you know, I don't know why he wouldn't have escaped sooner, but I get it to a degree.
Because he didn't have the information on Kirk. He wanted to get the information on Kirk, make sure Agnes was safe with Liz, and then Tom would go with Scotty to go find Kirk. Would be how Tom's brain probably works in my brain.
Mm. Well, I mean, that makes sense. It works. Sure. We don't know. We'll find out more because we leave the show with Agnes and Tom seemingly in the hands of Kirk's hitman, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so there's what we're coming back to. And I find it interesting because they're going to have the spinoff, right? The Redemption spinoff. Tom's still obviously a big part of the Blacklist. So how do you think that plays out? Or do you think they're going to be separated now because of this issue? He's not going to be able to find Liz for a while, so that's why he's going to be on the spinoff. How do you think that's going to work?
My first inclination, because it was announced as a mid-season show, was that Tom would be heavily involved with the Blacklist in the first 8 or 9 episodes of the season. Mm-hmm. And then that story would wrap up, and because that story wraps up, maybe Tom shares with Liz in a tender moment, hey, I found out that my mom is really this person. I want to go investigate this. You know, will you give me a leave of absence to go take care of that? I know that we're leaving you and your daughter, or something of that nature. And then I was like, that sounds stupid. Nobody wants to watch that. We all talked about how we don't like Tom and Liz together in the first place. So then I start to think about, okay, well, like I mentioned at the top of the show, right? The hitman was working for Stalder. Stalder was double-crossed by Scotty. So maybe Stalder is the one that's part of the deal to get Liz to Kirk, that the baby and Tom go with Stalder to go to Scotty, and that's how they get onto the spinoff that way. Which I like that much better.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. The only thing I thought was, I'm like, come on, guys, is that he never mentions when he gets to Liz about, hey, I just met my mom. I would have liked a line about that, just to acknowledge, you know, how close they are. Like, hey, guess what? I know you still don't know who your dad is and stuff, but I just met mom.
That would have been a cool line too, right? Kirk comes out, says, I'm your father. Liz gets thrown back in a cell, and then Tom is through the cell on the other side. And then he's like, Tom, I just met my dad. And it's like, guess what, Liz? I know who my mom is.
I would have rather she did like the Luke Skywalker. No! You know, or
well, that was... That's or is that Vader? True. That's impossible.
Yeah. It's impossible. That's what I would have loved that. Hopefully we'll get that season 4 premiere. I'm so pathetic. Don't do it. It would be an awful, awful choice, but I think it would be funny because that's all I get. I'm like, wow, he's Darth Vader. So he's got to be bad, right? He's going to cut her hand off.
Well, that was the memes from the get-go, right? From season 1. It was Vader standing there with Spader's face on Vader's mask. No, Liz, I'm your father.
We're gonna get Liz is gonna lose a hand. We're gonna call her Stumpy Liz. It's not gonna go pretty. Not gonna go pretty. So that's where we leave Tom. Wrestler finally shows his Dudley Do Right attitude we've been waiting to see for a while as he holds Red at gunpoint, trying to stop that assassination. But then he doesn't.
Nope.
He ultimately backs down.
That gun's too heavy. It took too long. He held it up for the first guy, so he just didn't have enough, you know, power left in his arm to hold the gun up for Red long enough.
He's like, oh, it's so heavy. I'm done. You're right. Go ahead, shoot him. And the only reason that apparently none of this goes down is because Kirk pulled a switcheroo. So it worked out in everybody's benefit. Everybody but Red's benefit.
Which that writing, I think, worked out really great because when he gets the pamphlet and says, oh, look, our guy saw that Liz is in Cuba, that makes Kirk go back on the plane, which then sends the decoy. So really, he was going to show up regardless, which I thought was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Or it makes you think about, would he have actually still shown up had he not gotten the information about Liz?
I don't know, because then we'd have a different episode, because then Red would have shot the guy, and then Russell would have shot Red, and then Dembe shot. It would have just been a Reservoir Dogs like, action.
Yeah, Reservoir Kill Bill type of thing, yep.
Yeah, a little too much. Pew, pew, pew. Pew, pew, pew.
Great for finale, though.
Yeah, kill every major character?
Yep.
Sure. Great. Mr. Kaplan. Turns out we called it. What? Did you feel redeemed at that moment? I mean, this was an episode where I will say, it was completely predictable in terms of I had most of this stuff figured out. And I think we both did, you know, all the conversation we've had. Now,
Let me finish my thought. I know, we just say it differently, though. Because when you say it was predictable, it sounds like it was kind of the lazy writer's way out. It wasn't that.
Well,
it was...
I'm trying to explain that, but you keep cutting me off.
Okay, go ahead.
I can't do it when you keep cutting me off.
All right,
you know what I'm saying? So explanations work when you finish them.
Oh, you finish it.
All right, you sure?
Yes.
You don't want a minute?
No.
Okay, you don't want to cut me off or interrupt any? Okay. So it was completely predictable in the fact that we did, as far as I'm concerned, have most of it figured out. But I also think because of the enormous speculation that goes into this show, a lot of people probably had different routes and different options available, so they might not have had it figured out. But I didn't find the episode unenjoyable because of that. And to me, that's a good show, is when you figure out most of the stuff that's going to happen. And I honestly did have most of this figured out. And I'm not saying that to seem arrogant or pretentious. It just so happened. The clues were there. I think they set them up so the clues were there, so you wouldn't be blown away. But you'll be more, once it happens, you feel like, you know, it's that release moment. Like, finally, we're getting somewhere and we got it. It makes sense, because they did put all the pieces in place as they played the episodes out. So it worked great for me. I had no problem with it. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a blast, or a gas, as it were.
Yeah, I agree 100%, except on the predictable part, because when you say it was predictable, like I was saying, I think it makes a connotation like the writers were lazy. And I don't think the writers were lazy at all. I think they paid off the things that they had purposely set up if you were looking for the clues all along. And because it paid off the way that you saw the clues, I think that's what makes it an excellent finale. Because if it would have been, what is that? Why is that? You know, that shouldn't be there. That shouldn't be there. And then you like start to second guess the finale, and then you feel frustrated coming out of it. So the fact that it paid off how they set up the roadmap all along just tells you that they have a plan in place and to trust the plan, just like we said last year.
You literally just said exactly what I already said.
But you kept saying it was predictable. I don't think it was predictable.
It was predictable
planned.
If you followed the clues, so it was predictable. I mean, it's predictable if you predicted it, right? Yes, people hear those words, they hear negative. I don't think it was negative. It's just you got fan-serviced. We got fan service. We got the stuff that a lot of people wanted happened. That's a good thing. That's not a bad predictable, but I did predict it, therefore it's predictable.
Okay.
You're making it sound like I'm saying, poo-poo this episode. This episode sucked because they were all dumb and they didn't, you know, all this stuff that I knew was coming. No, that's a good thing.
I agree with you 100%. I know what you're saying. I think
you just said exactly what I said.
Well, I think when people hear predictable, they think it might be a negative connotation. So I'm just clarifying for the audience.
You make my head hurt.
Our predictable does not mean predictable.
You make my head hurt. Like, predictably every week, you make my head hurt. I'm just letting you know. Mr. Kaplan set the whole thing in motion. Now, we talked about, remember this? A few weeks ago, we talked about, you asked me, do you need those flashbacks? Do we need them? And I said, yes, I think you need them, because a lot of people will have a hard time buying into what happened if you don't actually see it in motion. And we did get that. So I'm very, very happy for everyone's sake that they explained it. And it does work, because, you know, those were kind of the pieces we thought were going to be in the place based on that episode where Liz died. So I'm glad that we got to see them play out pretty much the way that I think we called them. Predictably the way that we called them.
Except that they used beta blockers to do a medically induced coma versus using the tetrodotoxin.
Right.
Which I think would have been way cooler.
Right. And it thought it was fun, and it was good, and I enjoyed it.
And it answered,
even if it was predictable.
And that was some of the fun parts about this episode, right, was the fact that Kaplan helps with getting him to Cuba, didn't see that twist coming, and we didn't see the twist of Tom knowing and being in on it. So I think those little things...
Yeah, we did debate that quite a bit, because I think we were both on board that Tom knew, and then till last week when he shot Solomon, it kind of threw us off a little bit. I'll fully admit that. It threw me off. I started to think Tom wasn't involved.
Yeah, I think those little nuggets, like just even though the episode was mapped out the way that we expected it to be mapped out.
Oh, like, look at you dancing around a word. Look at that. It's so ridiculous.
Broadcasting 101.
Oh, my God.
But because it was somewhat laid out that way, I think the nuggets that made it a little bit of a twist gave us something new and different and exciting for the episode that helps the enjoyment factor.
All right. Let's see how else he can dance around predictable. Okay, so the one thing that we didn't see coming was I didn't think Red was going to find out about it, so that Kaplan was involved so quickly. I actually thought it wouldn't come into play until like next season. I thought we'd just see a glimpse of Liz at the end, and then next season we'd get all that. But it sets it up. It sets up things, because I didn't betray you. I protected you from yourself. I thought that was a great line, because basically she's saying, you're the problem here. And I think there was a moment, it seemed like, where he understood that. Agree? Disagree?
I totally agree.
And then the end happens, which, you know, you get to the moment where baby's gone, Agnes is gone, Liz is gone. So everybody's been taken by Kirk, presumably, because we don't know for sure that Tom and Agnes are actually with Kirk. Because we don't see him, he never answers the question when Liz asks him. So we don't know. Maybe they did escape, and they just haven't shown that part yet. But it does make you wonder, because at the very end, he grabs her by the face, and he's like, "What? So what am I going to do with you?" So what do you think he's actually going to do with her?
I think she'll be alive, because I think he understands why she did it, but he's not going to trust her with any new information anytime soon. She's going to be on a short leash.
How so?
Like, literally on a short leash, like a dog leash. I'm going to know where Kate is 24/7 all the time.
I don't think she'll be killed. I think she's going to be killed. She already would be, because I think she has an understanding as to why she did what she did. But I do think it's pretty close to a problem for him. Like, I think it's going to be a debate, and he's going to have to wonder and consider all the options. And I don't think he's going to be trusting her anytime soon.
Because if he would have killed her, I think by not killing her initially and making her come to Cuba and see the error of her ways, mm-hmm. I think that would have been the time to kill her as part of the finale. Like, literally in that room, it's like, this is all on you, Kate, and you're going to have to live with it in death, and then put two in her chest. And that would have been like the, whoa, did that just happen part of the finale?
Yeah.
And since that didn't happen, I think she's alive. She'll be fine.
Yeah, I think she'll be alive. I don't... It would be quite a turn, though, if Red actually killed her. And I do want to... I mean, he said the comment where no parables, no speeches, nothing, just bereft. I would name every human being on the planet if asked who would betray him. So he trusts her more than Dembe.
Yeah, yeah.
Did that take you by surprise?
No, not really.
No?
Their relationships are different. I think if it's not about a number one and a number two kind of thing. I think they're equally number one in different ways. Because remember, it was Red who saved Dembe, so he's more like a father to Dembe, versus Kaplan, who's more like the trusted associate, almost like a spouse. So it's a different kind of love and relationship and respect that he has for the two of them.
Huh. Okay.
And even like your spouse, you know, you argue and you still have to stick together, technically. So
yeah, the law makes it complicated if you don't want to.
Yeah, exactly.
Not that I've thought about it. Shh.
And clearly, we haven't thought about killing our spouses.
No, I have not.
No, never.
Not that I'm going to admit to on a podcast. All right, so Red, or what is the old Chris Rock joke? If you never thought about killing somebody, you ain't never been in love.
Right.
Red, he has a plan to murder Kirk. He's less calculating with ordering the hot dog. Did you like this little scene where he's trying to delay things by taking the... being that annoying guy who never gets his order done?
Classic season one Red. It was so good.
I was sitting there going, man, I've been behind this guy and I don't know how many times, and all you want to do is punch him in the back of the head.
And if you were in our Facebook group, you were literally behind him.
With your little Photoshop and me and Red together.
It was cool.
That's cute. Well, that was a fun scene. It was nice to see a little bit of humorous Red. You know, we've seen stoic and vengeance seeking and everything for this last half of the season. So it was nice to have a nice little throwback to the Red that we love, where we enjoy seeing him just be ridiculous.
Just smelling the food.
Yep. Spader was having a great time with that, it seemed like. And Red gives a very nice speech on how courageous Cooper is and the people who follow him. Do you take anything away from that? I mean, do you think that he genuinely admires Cooper?
I think he absolutely does. I think he was even toying with Cooper back in season one in the opening. Like, their relationship goes far deeper back to the Kuwait thing. And then they were together, of course, you know, saving him with the judge episode. So I think he absolutely has the utmost respect for Cooper and what he's about. And the fact that he was able to look the other way and allow some of the things to happen just shows that Cooper values Red's friendship. And I think that's the thing with Red. Red values loyalty above all else. So the fact that Cooper was loyal to Red through the whole cause, I think just proves why the speech was so great when Red's like, I'm quitting, I'm done.
Oh, it was a beautiful moment. And I thought it was very nice that he did show how much he genuinely appreciated and admired Cooper. So, and he tells him to get back with Charlene, basically. And he tells him to set Aram up with someone because he's like a kid with his first erection on a school bus. My favorite line of the whole episode, maybe the season. I don't know why. I just thought it was very, very funny. Red is determined to kill Kirk. We find out that he's duped. We knew, but now he knows, and he learns the truth about what happened to Liz. How do you think this is going to shake up his world for season 4?
That's really the big question, because now we have to figure out if Red searches for Liz because he has to try to save her, or mm-hmm. does he actually learn something from what Kaplan was doing, and he's not going to be on the hunt for Liz, but he's going to let it kind of play out and maybe do some other things on the side. And maybe it's Liz, and maybe the whole first part of season four is Liz focused and not so much Red focused, since we've had so much Red in this last half of season three and no Liz. It wouldn't be interesting as Liz is kind of in with Kirk and are you my father and trying to understand that. Does she get some kind of Stockholm syndrome and become part of the family, quote unquote, or does she not believe it and tries to uncover the truth from inside, you know, calling back and getting clues from Red as it kind of progresses.
Yeah, it'll be
lots of story. You could go many directions.
Oh man, because he's going to also feel like Liz betrayed him too. So he's going to have a hard time. I mean, trusting her again too, you know, which nobody's really talking about, but yes, I mean, he understands where she's coming from, but it's also, that's a huge, huge, act of betrayal.
Is it a betrayal or is it a, what's the word
I'm looking
for?
I think to him, he sees it as a betrayal. He might not understand it, but it doesn't mean it's not a betrayal to him. She let him think she was dead.
But it's a betrayal of a different kind, right? It's like you're turning your back on your dad, right? Even though he's not, father.
My father figure, my God, man. Turning your back on whoever, whatever their relationship is.
It's a different kind of betrayal is what I'm saying. It's like a hurtful betrayal, but it's not a hurtful, like, you're my colleague kind of thing. Like Wrestler would feel betrayed by Liz for her faking her death. Cooper mm-hmm. would feel betrayed. Red feels something different about the betrayal because of how he cares and respects her and wants to keep her safe. So trying to understand and come to terms with that is a different kind of betrayal, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Okay. Betrayal's betrayal where I come from, but you see it different. I get what you're saying. I feel you. Which leads us to hashtag zombie Liz. She comes back from the dead. In case anyone was still debating it, Lizzie is alive. She is alive and semi-well, and apparently just hanging out in Cuba. Were you at any point shocked by this?
No, not at all.
Anything about this reveal that did take you by surprise?
I was shocked that it was Cuba. I'm like, why would you go to Cuba, the place that originally technically had ties to Russia, and you're trying to hide from a Russian guy, so you might have Russian intelligence officers still hanging out in Cuba. Seems like a bad place to hide out. The banana plantation over with Marvin Gerard would have been much safer.
At least, well, Marvin's, but he's tied in the Red. There's no way she can hide there.
That's true.
Yeah, so there's no way she can hide there. Maybe it's the one place that Red wouldn't go. Maybe he's afraid of Cuba for some reason. I don't know.
But then he does show up anyway on his own, correct?
Right. But this does settle several things we were debating. One, that she was part of the plan. Two, that because she wanted to escape Reddington, which explains her total flip in that one episode where she died, where she goes from get him out of here, which to keep him away, to come on in. I want to tell you that I love you. I love. Yeah, I love.
Youths.
Utes. What's a ute? What's a ute? So we know that. We got that down. We know that the post office was not in on it. We know that Tom was. So now we know all that information. We've got it down. So now that the gang knows she's alive, what kind of fallout for next season do you think we're going to get from them? We kind of briefly talked about it, but what do you really think is going to happen? Do you think they're going to welcome her back eventually with open arms, or it's going to take some time?
Well, I think this is the classic, you know, first time, shame on me, second time, shame on you kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I think there's going to be major, major hurt feelings when this comes around again. Although at the same time, like someone like Samar could totally understand why she did it. Mm-hmm. And I think Samar might be her ally, where Aram might be like, why did you betray us like that and put us through all this heavy emotion? I had to actually go, you understand what you did? You made me go to Reddington's house and put my foot in the door. I could have died.
Yep. And I think you're going to get a lot of that. I think, if anything, the people that were most affected will be the most hurt. I think, Wrestler didn't look too wounded by it. I think Cooper's going to be really destroyed. And I think Aram's going to be destroyed. So it should be an interesting way that it plays out for season four. I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens with that. It should be cool.
Which is the one answer I don't think we did get in this episode, was Wrestler in on it or not?
No, we got that. I don't think he was in on it.
Because in the episode, he comes in and he says, you know, I heard from Reddington, I heard from Dembe, you know, that they were in Cuba, and not just them, but also Liz. So I don't know if that was the first time he, because the way he delivered the news, it didn't seem like he was in that much shock.
That's his character, though. I mean, he really keeps his emotions contained. I mean, that's his character. He's very reserved in that respect. I think that's just how he delivered the news.
Because some people were saying that he was in on it, and that's why he was able to deliver it so stoically. Because if he did take the death as hard as Samar alluded to in the episode, like I think wrestler's taking it just as hard as Aram, then you would think that wrestler would have came in and said, like, guys, I just found out Liz is alive. Oh, and by the way, they're in Cuba too. You think he would have led with Liz versus not leading with Liz?
Nah, I think it was totally up his character. I think it was totally his character to me.
Okay.
So it worked for me. At the very end, we see Liz tied to a chair. Tied to a chair. That's not really the best way to start a father-daughter relationship. Just saying. With Kirk standing over her, and he drops this bombshell. He's Konstantin Rostova. Masha, I'm your father. Followed by the music line, the song line. Everyone thinks I dodged a bullet, but I think I shot the gun.
Which ties directly back to the season 2 finale of her remembering shooting her quote-unquote father in the fire.
Please explain.
So I went back and I started digging a little bit because I wanted to know. So let me start this off this way. There is a possibility that Konstantin Rostova is the father. There's a possibility that he's not the father in two different ways. One, maybe he thinks he's the father, needs it for the blood transfusion, finds out that he's not the father, like one of the people predicted or postulated in the opening, that the blood types don't match, ends up not being the father after all, even though he thought he was the father this whole time. So that could be one possible route. Or he's not the father and he's just lying to her because, as far as we know, daddy's dead, right? Shot in the fire.
Uh-huh.
So what I think was interesting was you go back and you listen to the Luther Braxton part 2, the memories sequence. And when you listen to that, there's clearly a woman and a man. The woman calls her Masha. The man calls her Lizzie. And they're fighting and they're arguing like, why did you take her? And I was trying to protect you. And it's because of the fulcrum and the fulcrum's keeping me alive. That sounds very much like what Reddington would say. Right, I need the fulcrum because as long as I have the fulcrum, the cabal won't come after me.
Uh-huh.
Red's the only one that calls her Lizzie. Everybody else calls her Masha. And so when that all kind of plays out at the end, Red is the one that had the memories blocked. Okay.
Uh-huh.
At the end of season 2, when she's playing it back and says, when I shot Connolly, it unlocked a memory. And the memory was that I shot my father. Red doesn't say anything at that moment, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Silence. Liz continues and says, that's why you had my memories erased. You wanted to protect me from that information. And then Red says, yes. So I think he's saying yes in that moment to the, yes, I did have your memories altered because I wanted to protect you from the information. We as the audience assume the information is that Liz shot her dad. But that's not the case. He's just saying, I wanted to protect you from the information because you didn't shoot your dad. You actually shot me. Because then he's there in the fire and he's getting the burns on his back, which we see at the end of season 1. So all of these season finales are tying them together.
Mm-hmm.
Because then she's back in the closet hiding. And then the man comes to pull her from the closet with the bunny and to walk her out the door. So my guess is it's kind of like a Romeo and Juliet situation where she shoots Red. Red falls down. She hides in the closet. Katarina thinks Red is dead. Katarina goes and runs off. And then she's like being pursued by Kirk or whatever. So she can't live with the agony of Red not being in her life anymore and that she brought this on him. She goes into the ocean, but Kirk is still alive. And then that's when Kirk shows up at the ocean with Red getting there at the same time. And that's why he knows that she went into the ocean. And that's when the hole by the water and the gun in your mouth and all of that stuff. And then that's why Red no longer can see Liz from that point forward.
I'm going with, and I know
that's a lot of it, that's a lot of information there.
Yeah, well, I'm going with it. Kind of puts my, and this is what I think. So it's not what everybody else can have their own opinion. I know a lot of people are still with the shipper theory. They're with a lot of theories. My personal theory is that I'm adjusting my uncle theory because I don't think it works in this scenario if he is the father. So taking into account that he is actually the dad. So I'm saying that Katarina and Konstantin were a married couple. They had Masha. He was very dangerous. Katarina got away from him. and Red was her love that she he basically took Lizzie in as his own because he loved her mother very, very much. And then Constantine came for them, and that's when things went south, and there was a fire and everything else. That's why he got the bird at the back, because he was there. And then basically Red fled into the night, thinking that he was dead for some reason, and then put her in hiding so she would be safe. And then, I don't know. I mean, I think, I don't know how that works with him saying, because I could have swore he acknowledged that she killed her father at some point. But I guess it could be wrong according to you, right?
Well, I guess it depends on how you assume that yes. Is he saying yes to the entire conversation, or is he saying yes just to the part of this is the, white lie or not the whole truth conversation? Because he did mess with her memories.
Mm-hmm.
He was there the night of the fire. He said that to Liz. It's like, you were there that night. And he's like, yes, I was there that night during that memory sequence. So mm-hmm. Red is there. The question, and then, of course, the doctor lady at the end of Luther Braxton says, with this, repressive memory treatment, the players might be there, but they may not be in the roles that you remember them in.
Right.
Which is clearly the opening door for saying that you didn't shoot your father, you shot Red.
I don't agree with that. I think Red was in love with Katarina. I think that's been shown several times. My opinion. And then for whatever reason, she shot her father, Constantine, and then Red put her into hiding. And that's how I'm seeing it at this point. It would also explain how he has a relationship with Dom. It would explain a lot of things, in my opinion, if that were the story. So there's a lot of theories out there, man. There's a ton of stories out there. Those are the ones, that's the one that works most for me right now.
Which is why the show will continue for quite some time, because there's a lot to unravel.
Definitely. Definitely. Whew. So that's a big bombshell, man. Were you surprised by that one? Or was it, did you kind of think about it? I wouldn't say it's predictable. But
I would say the Cape May episode was the first time that it was clearly like, oh, maybe Daddy is alive. We talked about that conversation when mm-hmm. she's at the piano and he's talking about, I had to let him live because of his son and because he was, and then Katarina says, her father. And they're trying to throw you off with the Tom and Agnes video clips over the top of that conversation. And you're like, he's not talking about Tom and Agnes. He's talking about Papa Rostova, which is why we put that profiling question out there. I really think that when he said, I'm your father, it's not like I was shocked by it. But I was just like, I was surprised that they gave up the information so easily and so quickly, which that makes me go, is he really the dad? I don't know.
No, I definitely think there's a debate on that. There's definitely an understandable debate because, I mean, you do remember, Red has said that dad was dead. I could have swore, and I could be wrong about that. It's very possible. There's so many episodes, so many conversations.
He never talked about dad at all. He only ever talked about your mom is dead. She's gone. She's died in the church. He's like, your mom killed herself in the ocean, gone, dead.
So just acknowledge that she shot her dad.
Shot her dad, yeah.
Okay. So he could very well be suffering from the injuries that she inflicted on him with that gunshot, and now he needs her or Agnes to help him.
Correct.
To save his life.
Possible.
Because I can't see any scenario where your real dad that has genuine interest in your livelihood is going to tie you to a chair.
Well, maybe she was tied to the chair initially so that she wouldn't try to break out from the thugs that had her because she doesn't know about daddy at that point.
Right.
And then maybe he comes in and says, okay, let's untie you now and let's have a conversation.
Right. And I guess it could be that he thinks she's his daughter, but she's not. And there's more there. I mean, there's a lot of different ways you can go with it. But at this point, I'm going to take it with a grain of salt that he's her father.
And here's how I'm going to explain this for everybody in the listening audience that isn't like the super weird TV watchers like Aaron and I are. So there's the show.
Speak for yourself, man. I'm totally normal.
So there's this little show out there that we like to refer to called Alias. And being that
you like to refer to every chance you get.
Well, it's been off the air for 10 years. So I'm going to share this ending of season one situation.
Okay.
Because at the end of season one, it's not really a spoiler because there's a lot more show after it. But at the end of season one, Sydney is captured. She's sitting there and a mysterious character walks in off screen. And as that mysterious character walks in off screen, Liz at this point believes her mother has been dead her whole life. But then when the mysterious character walks in, it's Sydney who says, Mom? ? And it cuts to black. So mm-hmm. because the the heroine says the parental relationship, you believe it. In this case, we're getting the reveal from the bad guy, or as we like to think of him as the bad guy. And so that's why you can't take it with a grain of salt, just because the bad guy gave you the news. If Liz would have said dad, then you would have been like, definitively, he's the father.
Okay, that actually makes sense. That's a good call. Good call.
I like to believe that he's the father.
I'm going to take it with a grain of salt, but yeah. I get what you're saying.
I really want to believe he's the dad, because it sets up some really interesting stories then about Stockholm Syndrome and, you know, is this the right place I should be? Maybe there was a reason why Red wanted me away from my dad in the first place. There's a lot of stories that come from that if he is actually confirmed to be dad. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I can't trust the information because of where it came from.
Yeah, and I agree with that. The only reason I want him to be your dad is so we put that question to bed. Because I think even though Red has said he's not her father, he's point blank answered that question when she asked him and he said no. People still don't believe it. So I think if you cemented that, it would put that question to bed.
So much like we put the challenge out there last summer to do the 44 episode rewatch, now you have to do the 66 episode rewatch to find out if
67.
If at any point in the series has Red lied to Liz, now that you have the information that you know.
Yeah, good luck with that. Take a notebook.
Somebody will do it. Somebody will do it.
Take a notebook. Whew. Well, I think that covers the finale stuff. Is there anything more you want to talk about that?
No, we got a lot more to do because we want to hear what the fans thought of the finale.
Absolutely. But the show's not over, so don't go anywhere. But please remember to download the Blacklist Exposed app for iOS and Android. Be sure to go even deeper into the mystery of Red Reddington by visiting our Blacklist partner, theblacklistnbc.com. And next week, we will be chatting with the boss man, John Bokenkamp, again. So if you have any questions for him, send them into the email address, feedback@goldensparrowmedia.com with the subject, Blacklist Bokenkamp. Make sure you do that soon, because we're going to talk to him in just a couple days. So a couple days after you hear this, we will have that. We're going to pick a few questions from listeners to ask Mr. Bokenkamp.
Yeah, what do you think about season 3 as a whole, storylines for season 4, spinoff? Anything you guys want to ask is fair game.
Yep.
Can't say
except
he's going
to
answer
them. If you're asking for spoilers, I guarantee you we probably won't ask those, because I know he's not going to be able to answer them.
Correct.
You know?
Correct.
So just be reasonable.
Yes.
Remember, it's feedback@goldensparrowmedia.com with a subject, Blacklist Bokenkamp.
And as part of that interview, we'll release that with our fan feedback episode. So if you are going to make any of those mashups, feel free. You can do them in GarageBand, Audacity, Audition, or over at clamor@clamr.com. Send them on over here. Again, feedback@goldenspiralmedia.com is the email address. You can attach an MP3 to there. That would be great. Or just visit it on the website over at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback.
All right. Now be patient like a good gasoline driver, because we will be right back with Red's Rhetoric right after this. Are you sick of the endless poorly realized remakes as we are? And take a listen to Remake This Movie Right, where we take a classic movie, figure out what works and what doesn't, throw a dash of humor at it, and then we craft our own remake. So by the end of every episode, we will remake this movie right. Recently featured as a podcast to listen to by the AV Club, you can find us at RemakeThisMovieRight.com or your podcast app of choice. Every movie you love will get a remake someday, and only you can make it better.
Welcome to Red's Rhetoric, that part of the show where we play two scenes from last week's episode and then you get to vote which you think is the favorite over at theblacklistexposed.com. Just look for the post for the Alexander Kirk The Conclusion episode to cast your vote. Last week, Scotty's anxiety story garnered 67% of the vote, making Susan anxious last week's winner. This week's first scene comes as Red thanks Cooper and his team for their service.
These charges against Alexander Kirk for financing terrorism are ludicrous. And no one's going to touch him for what happened to Elizabeth. So I'm going to kill him. He won't live long enough to see the inside of that hearing room. I'm going to kill him the instant he steps out of his vehicle. You and I both know nothing less will protect Agnes and avenge Elizabeth's death.
Red, how come...
Now, you and your people, I will always be more grateful than I could ever express. But I don't expect, or rather, I couldn't accept your involvement in this final act.
I entered into this relationship with my eyes wide open. So did Agent Ressler and the others.
I admire that about you, Harold. I know so many zealots, men and women who choose a side, an ideology by which to interpret the world. But to get up every single day and do the hard work of deciding what to believe, what's right today, when to stand up or stand down. That's courage.
The second is when he talks to Donald while keeping his sights on Kirk.
The hell do you think you're doing? I'm willing to fire on your man, and I'm willing to fire on you.
Yes, I believe that, Donald. Are you willing to die in the process?
I said, step away!
You want justice for Elizabeth.
Justice, not vengeance.
In my experience, they're the same.
What are you gonna do, Dembe? You gonna shoot me in cold blood?
40 seconds.
I know how difficult this must be for you, Donald.
I will do this.
You have faith. I envy that. Justice, integrity, faith in humanity. Nobody embodies those principles more than you.
20.
And I know it must be hard for you to believe that you'll continue to embody those principles even after you watch me do this.
Well, this isn't about me. This is about the rules. What's right?
When Elizabeth was a fugitive, you played by the rules, did what you thought was right. But Elizabeth's gone. Alexander Kirk took her away from us, and she's not coming back.
Raymond.
Take your hands off that trigger.
What do you think's going to happen if you stop me, Donald? That you'll arrest Kirk? That justice will be done?
Let go of the weapon.
Do you want a bullet in Alexander Kirk's head? Or one in mine? Decide now. What's it going to be, Donald?
If you are someone that can make the hard decisions every day, vote hashtag red courage. Or if you think you can define justice versus vengeance, vote hashtag red sniper.
All right, Special Agent Intel. So now let's find out what you all thought of the finale. First, we took a poll on Twitter to see what you all thought, okay? Now here's how it broke down. We broke it out to loved it, period, predicted it, but still said it was good, said it was okay, but were disappointed, and thought it jumped the Kirk. Nice. Well played. 46% of you loved it, period. You loved it. Loved the finale. 33% predicted it, but still said it was pretty good. 9%. See, predicted isn't a bad thing.
Predicted is different than predictable.
Oh my God, man. 9% said it was okay, but were disappointed. 12% thought it jumped the Kirk.
So I would say that's an 80-20, which means that it hit the mark.
Yeah, it did hit the mark. I kind of would like to know why people feel it jumped the Kirk, so to speak. Jumped the shark. I don't know. I didn't really have any moments like that. So
I'm sure those are the people that are upset about Tom and Liz and the relationship and she's alive and some of those types of people.
Well, I'm not a big, you know me, I don't like Tom and Liz together, but I mean, the episode I thought was pretty good.
So. I did.
But to each their own, everybody's got the right to their opinion. Let's talk about what the people that sent in some thoughts on it.
Yes, Tessa said, love the episode, love the intrigue, and the acting was beyond phenomenal. Red and Cooper, Cooper and Samar, Cooper and Ressler, Red and Ressler, Kaplan and Red. The heist was just so much fun, and then there is the scene at the restaurant. I'm super excited about season 4 and about redemption.
Dondi said, the best thing about this episode was the Ford Escape commercial with Amir and Majan. Okay. I dislike cliffhangers, and this one ended in a depressing fashion. I'm having a hard time speaking. The muscle relaxers are kicking in. That will last for another 4 months. Other than the ending, the only thing I hadn't foreseen was how widespread was Kaplan's conspiracy. The other thing that irks me is when characters are incompetent. Yes, it happens to even the best on occasion, but it is never entertaining. When your protagonists are beaten, it's fine if the reason is either the opposition was lucky or just better, but not that your side was stupid. Kaplan not assuming the third parties might be lurking to take the baby was just stupid. I think she assumed it, but she didn't realize that they cloned his burner phone or whatever. Gripes aside, it will be interesting to see if Kirk is the man Lizzie shot years ago. I have a feeling that he may be, or that she shot him in the spleen, his blood problem. That's what I think too. Whether or not he actually is Lizzie's father, he certainly thinks he is. The best thing about this arc is that it provides a plot device for the interest in Lizzie that makes sense both now and 30 years in the past. Most plot devices like the Fulcrum lose their potency over time, but family stuff like this continues to burn and burn.
Mm. Like a fire. Mm.
Fire, fire.
Andrew said, this was an interesting episode, how they wrapped up all the threads and answered some of our questions while creating more questions in the process. I knew that Liz was not dead, but I did not expect Mr. Kaplan to be in on faking her death. Well, clearly, Andrew, you have to listen to the podcast more often. I wonder if she makes it to next season, as Red is mad that she put Liz and Agnes in jeopardy. I do wonder if Alexander Kirk is telling the truth that he is Liz's father. But if that's the case, why would he abduct her? Crazy theory. At least it's not as crazy as Troy's mother theory anyway.
Mm-hmm. Thank God that's put to bed.
At the beginning of the show, he was getting a blood transfusion and later he started bleeding. Would it be an interesting twist if they take Liz's DNA and it's not a match? It's amazing to see the real father tie her to a chair while Red, who is not her father, did everything for her. Alexander Kirk does not care about Liz. He needs something from her. Something must be going on with his health. Ergo, he needs her for her blood. So either he's dying or he's a vampire.
Oh, that would be awesome.
If that's the case, call Blade to rescue Liz and kill Kirk. I wonder also whether the post office will ever forgive Liz for faking her death and leaving them to think that she's dead.
Good question.
A theory about season 4 will look like, I think the first few episodes will entail Red trying to find Kirk and rescue Liz in the process with the help of Red's irregulars, Glenn, Dembe, Boz, Brimley, and some of Reddington's associates, with Red either killing Kirk and taking over his network. A question, though, if Tom knew Liz was alive, does that change how we are supposed to view him gut-shooting Mr. Solomon and leaving him for dead? Carry on, my wayward hosts. See you in October/November and enjoy your summer off. Cheers, Andrew.
Oof, I plan on it, man. Oof, I definitely plan on it. Thanks for those kind words. Henry said, this was our Through the Looking Glass episode, a la Lost, probably my favorite of that series.
Mm.
That's interesting.
I wouldn't know if it was as powerful as Through a Looking Glass, but it's pretty close to the switcheroo reveal of how the show changes direction. I could agree with that.
Yeah, that's fair.
Shannon said, I think that the beginning of next season will be just as unsatisfying. They kept dropping hints about Kirk's blood type all episode. I wouldn't put it past Kirk to need Elizabeth or Agnes for, I can't even say that word, phlebotomy. Reasons, and for him to deceive her. After all, what kind of father abducts her and separates her from her family, ties her to a chair, and intimidates her as part of their reunion? Nah, these answers aren't answers. All the stars have said that when we find out who Liz really is, that's the end of the show. And we know this episode wasn't the end of The Blacklist. I remain unconvinced.
All right. Well, I think there's a lot more to it, but, I mean, it is a pretty big revelation. So maybe it's an answer, maybe it's not. Maybe we're being duped like Red. All I know is they're not going to do any fake deaths, I hope, in next season, because you've already pulled 2 and 1. I don't think you can do another one for a while.
A long time.
Long time. Crystal said, a very good finale. Cooper and Red's conversation was my favorite part. It is awesome to see how far their relationship has come. I think the whole episode was really about how far they've all changed and had to change within themselves. I'm glad Kate's not dead yet. That really wasn't much of a shocker on Liz or Kate setting it up, but it was still a great episode.
I agree. Does that imply that she wants Kate dead? I'm glad Kate's not dead.
Just not yet. Just not yet. Yeah. She's glad she's not dead yet because, you know, we don't know how Red's going to handle the situation with Kate.
For sure. Mm-hmm. TC said, the double jump. Kirk pulled Red's own move on him, and it was glorious. The look on Red's face when he realized one of his loyalist comrades betrayed him was heart-wrenching and just incredible all in one. Is Kirk Lizzie's real dad? Is that why Red wanted to keep him away from her? Was Kirk just trying to kidnap Lizzie all along just to say hi?
That would be an awkward way to introduce yourself. Hey, tie my daughter up to a chair so I can go say hi to her. I don't want her to yell at me and swing her hands or anything, throw a temper tantrum. Betty said, this is a mess. Why does everyone want to keep Liz Mastrostova safe? Where's Tom? Where's the baby? What's going to happen to Mr. Kaplan? What about the doctor? This is a mess. Everybody looks confused, especially the FBI and Red. Liz should feel very, very foolish. Red told her that when her name was revealed, it opened her up to too much danger. She could never live without his protection. A real mess. Secrets. So many lives destroyed. I don't think it doesn't sound like she means this is a mess as in a bad episode. I think she means this. Everything is happening as a mess.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. And it is interesting because Red talked to her when they were on the lam, saying things like, you know, your name is out there. This is going to cause an issue. I can protect you. And they spent 8 episodes literally becoming like the best of friends.
Mm-hmm.
And then she goes and pulls this. So I don't know. Maybe it's the continual, you know, growth of the Lizzie flip-flop situation. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how Red scolds her as a pseudo-parent in season 4.
Right on.
Laura said, am I the only one not thrilled with this episode? So much stupidity. Tom takes cell phone calls, standing in his daughter's safe house. Good point. Tom keeps his phone when he disappears. Also good point. There's no security at the house in Cuba. Double good point. And Red doesn't know anyone in Cuba to check on Liz and the house for him.
Hmm. Good call. I agree with everything you said, actually.
Yeah.
All right. Cindy said, well, this was the worst finale ever. Wow. We knew Liz was alive. We knew Kaplan was a betrayer. I knew Kirk would say he is her dad. But the worst is how cruel Lizzie was to Red. After all, he did for her. So no unexpected reveals except that Liz is cruel. Ugh. I mean, to be fair, I get where she would blame Red for all this.
Right.
I mean, she had a fine life until Red came back, whether she knew anything else or not. But she, you know, she was living a good life. It wasn't her fault.
So Cindy would be in the 9% then of the...
Yeah, it sounds like it. Yeah, okay, I think she's solidly in the 9%.
Okay. Michelle said, I wasn't surprised.
She might have voted whatever, however many votes it took to get to 9%. I don't know. Sounds like she was not a fan.
Nine times.
Michelle
said, wasn't surprised, but I really want to know how Tom goes from being on the blacklist, at like number 7, if I remember correctly, to the spinoff, because they left us on a cliffhanger to like September/October. I don't care if Alexander Kirk got all misty-eyed when he saw Masha. He's got some less than noble motives. That awkward moment when your dad just wants your blood or an organ. Kind of like Lost.
Exactly. Wendy said, if there weren't too many bloody questions already, the writers have gone and added on a few more. So are we going to play Is AK Really the Daddy all summer?
Yes, when we I get are. Home,
what's that?
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. When I get home later, I shall watch the episode again to see if I can pick up anything that we might have missed, something that was said, or even something that wasn't said, and is odd given the situation. On the whole, we kind of surmised that what the finale would be all about. To be fair, we should all go work for the post office. But watching how they play those cards or play those theories out is always going to be tricky. I think they did a really good job. The one moment that got me was the Red Herald conversation. Seems to be a favorite for a lot of people. I reckon these guys go back a ways and that hasn't been explored yet. I'm going to leave it there for now until I rewatch it.
Mm-hmm. Nate said, the past 5 episodes have been throwing me for a loop, twisting theories that I've had since season 1. All I have to say is this episode was a sheer delight. So much fun, so many layers, and so much of the Liz death facade unraveling before our eyes. Mr. Kaplan, or should we say Kate, was great. Her plan was expected, but it was nice to see Red's face as she told it. Wrestler's part in the plan was unexpected, which goes against his goody-goody nature. That's the part I was interested in, too. I was like, did he know? Did he not know? That was so good. I expected the twist about Kirk, though. I don't know why, but it seemed too easy to do. Why? Simply because it's not true. It will be a plot device to manipulate Liz in the next season. Red's emotions have been on edge since her death, and for him not to have a parental connection with Liz, no, not the mom. But Kaplan's shock after hearing that Kirk followed Tom to Cuba gave too many signals that she truly knows what Red's connection is to Liz. I was happy to see Liz. The show's not the same without Red and Liz together. Kirk will be a handful for Red at least half of next season. That seems to be the trend for Red's adversaries. What a great season, though. The summer won't go by fast enough. I can't wait to see what happens next.
All right, and Rachel said, I know that we've been told Red is not the father, but Alexander Kirk said he's the father. But I just can't get past my intuition that my gut is going to be right here. But I feel kind of silly for not being able to let it go. Don't be. A lot of people can't.
It's tough.
It is.
Betty said, last one here, I rewatched the episode and I am thoroughly convinced, I stand to be wrong and corrected, that Red Reddington is Lizzie's father and possibly Mr. Kaplan is his wife or sister. Alexander Kirk is not Lizzie's father. He called her Masha, but her father, as Red, always calls her Lizzie. Kirk told Reddington on the phone, you may have my money, you may have my president, but you don't have me. I should have pulled the trigger in your mouth on that beach when I had the chance. Kirk may have been one of the men after Katerina Rostova when Red was hallucinating following Lizzie's death. Remember when Katerina told him to leave and Red said, I can't. He was in love with her and he wanted to save her. Maybe she was a double agent before communism fell. Konstantin Rostova was in the KGB and so was Katerina.
Yep, that's why I think that he was her husband and she left him, went into hiding. He found her. Red saved her and Masha.
Yes.
That's what I think. That's my theory. Oof, I think that's going to do it, right? That's pretty much it for this episode.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, what a great season.
Wow, what a great season. And we've still got one more Blacklist Exposed episode to come, so be sure to come back next week because we're going to have John Bokenkamp. We'll probably have a few more details on what we thought about the episode as a whole, or the season as a whole, I should say. So definitely come back for that. But for now, that's going to conclude this episode. So be sure to follow us on Twitter at TheBlacklistGSM. When the show is airing, we will live tweet during the East Coast feed, and we use the show's hashtag, TheBlacklist.
Don't forget to also follow us on Tumblr and Instagram and join the Facebook group to keep the conversation going all summer long. Just search for The Blacklist Exposed on Facebook. There's a group for the original show and a group for the spinoff for Redemption. So just Blacklist Exposed is all you need to know, and you will find us where you can have conversations all summer long.
You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, leave us a review, or listen from the website. But if you are really on the go, make sure you download our app for iOS and Android, powered by Spreaker. You'll find all the intel and analysis about this episode for Alexander Kirk by visiting theblacklistexposed.com. Big thanks for listening. Don't forget to answer our profiling question, which is what story or question or theory or whatever, what is the one thing from the first three seasons you would like to see answered in season four?
And we'll ask Bokenkamp those next week.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that's going to do it, guys. Have a great summer, and be sure to come back next week for the interview.
Absolutely. Take care. Until next time, I'm Agent Troy Heinrichs. That's at Troy Heinrichs on Twitter. And if you want to learn more about me, just visit, well, about.me/Troy Heinrichs.
And I'm Agent Aaron Peterson. You can hear me talking about movies and TV on the Hollywood Outsider podcast, as well as Remake This Movie Right. We are available at thehollywoodoutsider.com or on Twitter at @H_Outsider. Be sure to subscribe, download the app, submit your feedback, but most importantly, keep yourself off of
the Blacklist.
The Blacklist Exposed is a Golden Spiral Media production. Find more of our great podcasts at goldenspiralmedia.com/podcasts.